Once again, we are back to our study of the Lord's Prayer, and a very good evening to one and all, and I wish you a blessed Sabbath day. In our last study, we delved a little further into the first part of the preface, Our Father, to help us to appreciate fuller the principles or the pattern the Lord Jesus has set up for His disciples and for all of us Christians in learning how to approach the throne room of God. In that study, we also went on to examine the question, how may I know that God is my Father? For not everyone, as we learn from Scripture, not everyone has the privilege to call God my Father or our Father. I submitted to all of us in that study a few signs or marks that unveil we are children of God, and that will signal that our God is our Father indeed, and we have this privilege to call upon Him, to address Him. For this evening's meditation, we move on to the second part. And I'm doing this not because I want to lengthen the whole series of study. In fact, I find it quite difficult in this second part to draw out lessons and what can we really learn from these few words, which art in heaven. And there are indeed a few important truths we can glean from this phrase, which art in heaven. And it speaks volume of God Himself, of the character of God, and you will find indeed great comfort and encouragement even through these four words, which art in heaven. And so the first I suggest that we can, one important truth that we can glean from this expression, which art in heaven, is the direction of prayer. By these words, which art in heaven, the Lord Jesus is teaching us to get our minds or our thoughts out of the earthly plane and to direct our thoughts heavenward. Why do we need to do that? Because much of our time and much of our energy are spent on earthly things during the course of the day, isn't it? Our work, our studies, and our various responsibilities and duties occupies our mind, and we do not really spend much time in thinking or in directing our thoughts heavenward. Our view of life and our understanding of what is happening around us is often so earthbound, isn't it? When we could not, even as Christians, we could not look beyond, and we even forget that we have a God who is in heaven, whom we can call upon for solace, for help. So in prayer, when we pray to God, we have this opportunity to turn our attention or to turn our focus heavenward, to get our eyes from this earth, so to speak, and to raise our thoughts heavenward. And by these four words, which are in heaven, believers are reminded that when in prayer we raise our minds or our thoughts above the earth, for Christian worship, a true and living God who dwell in the heavens of heaven of heaven. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 27 tells us that. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul calls God's chief resident, His dwelling place, the what? The third heaven, where He reveals His glory and His majesty most to the saints and to the angels. 2 Corinthians 12:2. When you look at that and compare what the Lord Jesus is teaching us and compare it with our level, fallen men in their vain imagination do what? We make gods out of wood, stone, metal from this earth for worship. And they pray to such idols that what? that the psalmist describes to us, they pray, they make such such idols as their gods, and they pray to such idols that, the psalmist says, have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. Psalm 115 verses 5 to 7. And then the psalmist concludes in the same psalm in verse 8 saying, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. How foolish is it for man to do such a thing, created in the image of God. But for the believers, for those of us who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, they or we have a God whose dwelling place is in the heavens. And we have a God who is so great and powerful and mighty, even the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, says Solomon in 1 Kings 8:27. For God, we know from scripture, is present everywhere, or everywhere is in the sight of God. Nothing can be hidden from him. And we who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christian believers, we have such a God to be our Father, Almighty, who sits in the heavens. God told the prophet Isaiah to write these words to the wayward Israelites, saying, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. For all those things had my hand made, and all those things have been. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, this expression, which art in heaven, is not only to direct our thoughts heavenward, but also to remind us, as his creatures, that when we commune with God, when we come before his throne, we are reminded that God is no ordinary being. He is the Creator God, and we, his creatures, are set apart from him. It paints for us a contrast between the glory, the purity, the infinitude, and the unchangeableness of heaven and this world, and of the riches of God, and the source from whence the kingdom of heaven descended upon earth. Such is our blessing and our what we have as believers. Therefore, it serves to warn us not to have any or to allow any lowly or earthly thoughts about God to enter our minds. We must, as believers, have a very high view of God, because God is higher than the whole world. We should be mindful of this, not only in times of our communion with God or in our prayer time, but we must be mindful of this, to have a high view of God all the time. Believers, you and I in Christ must have a high and reverential view of God who dwells in the heavens. Secondly, this expression, which art in heaven, speaks of the sovereign power of God. Calvin says this, by this word, or by this expression, which art in heaven, we learn that all things are under his rule, unquote. The psalmist likewise instructs us this. Our God is in the heavens. He have done whatsoever he hath pleased. It is from the same psalm, Psalm 115, verse 3. So the God of the Bible is no ordinary God. He is the God. The God of the Bible is in heaven, and he governs the whole universe, and he orders all events, both in heaven and on earth, for the good of every one of his children and for his own glory. For those who are in union with the Lord, with Christ through God the Holy Spirit, we can take comfort that when we are in danger, when we as God's children are in trouble, when we are in sorrow or in sickness, God who sees from heaven will send help. For the psalmist again reminds us in Psalm 57 verse 3, He shall send from heaven and save me. Brethren, perhaps some of you may be feeling downcast, depressed, helpless. Some of you afflicted with many aches and pains and illnesses, whatever your estate. Remember, brethren, we have a God who sits in the heavens, who watches over us every moment of our lives. In our camp, the Easter camp, the last time, I do not know whether you remember, in one of our devotional message, I shared from Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 11, concerning God's eye is over His land. And that land refers to God's people. And God, unfailing, unwavering, watching over each one of us, His children. And here in this, just these few words, we are reminded that God watches over us from heaven, and He will send help. He will send help to His children when we call upon Him. When Scripture says that God is in heaven, it means that God is sovereign over all things, that He holds the world together and all that is in it in His hand. God is in sovereign control over every event. Nothing goes amiss. Nothing happens in your life without His knowledge or without Him having a say, so to speak, or allowing in His providential care. That His power sustains all and His divine providence orders all things. And He brings to pass all things according to His will. The sovereign power of God would also include God's knowledge, and not just mere knowledge, but we have a God who is what? The only wise God, which means He is infinitely wise. 1 Timothy 1:17. All things, everything, are naked and open to God's searching eyes. Hebrews 4:13. Man may plot, may plan, may hide their evil schemes from God, or rather from others, but God is in heaven and they can do nothing without God's knowledge, without His knowing. God in heaven is like as if He's sitting on a high tower, watches over all the events and transactions of man. And those of us who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, be encouraged. Whatever that is happening around you or in your life, you as a child of God, be at rest, be at peace. Nothing is amiss. Why? Because your Heavenly Father who watches you above knows all things, and He has already ordained all things according to the pleasure of His good will. So nothing happens to you without His knowledge. And by this phrase, which art in heaven, believers can find rest. Rest to their souls and protection from their enemies. Why? Because the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and He gave us His voice. And the highest gave His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, He sent out His arrows and scattered them, and He shoot out lightnings and discomfited them. Psalm 18 verses 13 to 14. This is what God will do for us who are His children. He will, those of us who are in Christ, we can rest in the Lord Jesus and rest in our souls because we have a God who watches over us and protects us. The sovereign power of God, and I like this particular expression from the Lord Jesus Himself, is best described for us by the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, which you are very familiar with, and perhaps you have quoted this to encourage yourself or your brethren in Christ. Luke 12, 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Is it not true? So, brethren, for those of you who may be disturbed and feeling unrest, look unto the Lord Jesus. Call upon Him. You have a God who sits in the heavens and who watches over us every moment of our eyes, every moment of our lives, without taking His eyes off us. Our parents cannot do it. Our father mothers cannot do it. Our best friend cannot do it. Our spouse cannot do it. But God can, for He is the God of sitteth in heaven, who watches over us. And this leads us to the third and final lesson, which I name as the encouragement of prayer. This word, which art in heaven, is an encouragement to every believer to pray. When we pray to our Father in heaven, it does give us a sense of our pilgrimage here in this world. It serves as a reminder also. When we call upon God, when our thought goes heavenward, does it not remind us that this world is not our home? And our final destination is in heaven, where God is, where God our Father is. Does it not do that? Yes, it does. When we pray, when we turn our eyes upon the Lord Jesus who sitteth in heaven, we are reminded of our pilgrimage in this world. It brings comfort to the believers that not only do God's children wish to be where the Father is, furthermore, we have a Father who also desires His children to be where He is. And we find this again in the scripture. Look, for example, in Psalm 73, verses 23 and 24. This desire to be where God is expressed very aptly by the psalmist. In Psalm 73, verse 23 and 24, I read to you, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And not only that, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Himself further comforts His people, and the Lord Jesus, in His high priestly prayer, prayed this for us. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, for what? Be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me. John 17, verse 24. Does it not bring great comfort to you? As much as you desire to long for, to be with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, God desires us to be with Him. And such a blessing is only for those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is in prayer that our hearts are drawn towards heaven, and to be reminded that our pilgrimage is but a short journey. Brief. All our troubles, all the difficulties that we are facing right now, all the challenges that we are encountering right now, brethren, is only short. Brief. And our life, as what the Bible tells us, is just like a vapor. It's just like the grass. Morning it flourishes, and in the evening it is cut down and burned away. And the place remember us no more. Oh, what a great encouragement for us in discovering, even through these four simple words, which art in heaven. It brings us to such a higher level, isn't it? And soon, for those of us who are in Christ, our pilgrimage is not only a short journey, And soon, in God's, in glory, you and I, God's children, what? Will forever address God as our Father on that day. But nevermore will they have to add which are in heaven, for they will be with Him. Do you realize that the day is coming soon? Soon, when we see the Lord Jesus, when we call upon Him, our Father, we need not add these four words, which are in heaven, because we will be with Him forevermore. So, knowing this, what comfort it is for believers to pray and to aim our prayers heavenward and looking forward for that very day where we can truly call Him our Father without having to add this phrase. Another encouragement for the believers I submit to you is that when they pray to their Heavenly Father, they can be assured that their prayers will ascend into the throne room of God because it cannot be hindered, it cannot be blocked up. This free access we have, believers, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to come before His throne of grace, to pour out all our concerns and our thanksgiving and our praise, nothing will stop that. Unless it is our sins, otherwise, nothing else will prevent or to keep the prayers of the saints or the prayers of the righteous, which is a sacrifice of sweet savor, to reach the throne room of God. When Christians pray, no distance, whether land or sea, no border crossings, no boundaries will ever keep our prayers from reaching our Father in heaven. For the way to heaven can never be blocked. Now, for some of us who we are away from our family members and loved ones back in our home country, distance separates us, isn't it? Of course, we now with technology, we can still communicate with one another, but we can never have that intimate communion with one another, even with modern technology. It brings us closer, but it does not bring us close enough. But we have a God who sits in heaven, though He is up in heaven and we on earth. But nevertheless, when we pray, nothing prevents, nothing keeps this close communion and intimacy we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the way to heaven can never be blocked up. Brethren, as we have briefly considered the lesson derived from this expression, which art in heaven, I trust that this will encourage you, this will inspire you to come to the throne of grace more and more and to seek the Lord our Father in heaven. I trust that you will come to God, our Father, with the confidence that He loves us as His children and He will hear our prayers. But at the same time, be mindful that we also come to the One who is full of glory and majesty, power, who is sovereign over all. The thrice holy God who rules and overrules. His chief dwelling place is in the heavens because He is the transcendent God, Lord over all. When we come to Him in prayer, we must remember His greatness no less than His fatherhood. We must remember His holiness no less than His love. Jesus teaches us not to forget reverence when we approach the throne room of God. But these words, which art in heaven, are not just to remind us that God is greater than we are. These words are intended as a comfort and encouragement also for the fact that He is the Lord of heaven, sovereign over all things. This means God can answer our prayers. We are coming to a Father who has the power to do what we ask and also the wisdom to deny us when we did not ask according to His will. Such a blessing it is to be God's child. If we are addressing our Heavenly Father or the Heavenly Father, should we not ask as I've said this before, we should not always come to God with our shopping list. But we should always be mindful that we are approaching our God who is in heaven, and therefore should we not ask for things of heavenly value? Things that are worthy of heaven's consideration? Do we just set our eyes or our focus or our attention on earthly things only? Should we not pray more for our spiritual needs? For more grace, for more love, for more peace, for more rest, and abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because oftentimes we are so troubled, isn't it? So disturbed, easily ruffled, and we are so disturbed by the many happenings around us. To speak to God in heaven is to be ushered into the presence of the Almighty, and we are invited to enter His presence with assurance of His fatherly love and care. Therefore, brethren, why should we fear? Why don't we bring all things to Him in prayer? Why do we not seek great things from our great Father and expect great things from our great God? Have you considered that before? And of course, you know this comes from, if I'm not wrong, Hudson Taylor, who prayed this, who told the committee when, you know, he wanted to go to China to preach the gospel, and this elder of the church said, "Oh, you sit down, young man, when God wants to." But he prayed that prayer. Expect. What did he pray? Attempt God. Expect great things from God. And so therefore here, we are encouraged that we seek great things from our great Father and expect great things from our great God, so that we may see His kingdom come and His name honored. Our Lord encourages us in all these matters and calls us to rest in God, for He is our Father in heaven. So may the Lord help us as we ponder over this. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can end this Lord's Day worship with this very comforting and encouraging note. To be reminded that we have a God who sits in the heavens, who watches over us day and night without a moment taking His eyes off us. We thank You that we have such a great and mighty God who rules and overrules. O Lord, help each one of us, Your children who are called by Thy name, help us to rest and abide in our Lord Jesus Christ. For Thou art the vine, we are the branches. And so we pray that You will help us to find true rest and peace in the Lord Jesus, not on the things of this world, but on Him who is ever willing to bless and to give us the very best for our good and for Your own glory. Father in heaven, for each one of us, Your children, as we return to our station of responsibilities and duties in the new week ahead, we ask once again that You will go before us and go with us and help us, O Lord, for we do not know what is ahead in the new week. It may be poverty, it may be sickness, it may be danger, it may be peace, it may be a time of harvest, it may be a time of success, it may be a time of failure. But whatever it is, Lord, we know that Jesus doeth all things well, and Thou art the sovereign God who rules above. And help us, as Your children, to be willing to humbly, wholly follow after Thee, and to submit and to surrender our lives, our hearts, and our will to do Your will out of love for You. Grant us the grace and the strength to do so, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.